נועם שרעבי and אלון פוטרמן with כפר עזה טוק.
Welcome to כפר עזה טוק. I'm אלון פוטרמן.
And I'm נועם שרעבי.
And you're joining us today with two very special people, two young adults from כפר עזה, עידו and לירי, that will soon introduce themselves. We thank you for joining us for this special episode, where we have the privilege of talking to people who are not only survivors of October 7th, but are also very active in rebuilding the community. This is a very exciting opportunity to also talk about things that are good, that are positive, that are getting us excited about a brighter future. We are over a year now into the war. It's been 368 days. We have still five members of this community that are in captivity, and we think and pray for their safety and for their quick return all the time. And we keep them in mind specifically here today because we're talking to their friends. We're talking to people that are so close to them and that are basically family members of them. So we thank you for being here and for doing everything you can to make sure that the young adults of Kfar Aza stay connected to Kfar Aza. עידו, לירי, we would love to hear from you a bit about yourselves. Who are you?
I'm לירי סובול. I was born in כפר עזה. I grew up my whole life. I spent my whole life in כפר עזה. After the 7th of October, I feel very connected to the kibbutz and the community. Before the 7th of October, I was even thinking about leaving and trying my life somewhere else, but the events that happened that day really, really affected me and my feelings toward the community and the kibbutz, and I hope we can return soon to Kfar Aza.
Where were you on October 7th?
In the kibbutz, in my home. That was a very, very long day. It was very, very shocking. We were so used to the sirens and the alerts, and at 6:30 in the morning, we all thought it's just another round, another exchange of fire and sirens and missiles. But as soon as we heard the gunshots getting closer and closer, we understood that there's something bigger happening.
Now, where do you live in the kibbutz? Where did you live, in the young adult neighborhood? Did you live in the young adult neighborhood?
No, I was living in my parents' house inside the kibbutz, and the more.
And were you there with them that day?
No, I was alone. Right. I was alone in my home. My parents weren't there. My brother wasn't there. I was alone.
How did you get out?
That's a good question. around, I think, 11 or 12 midnight, suddenly we heard like a lot of noise and like someone is breaking into the house. We didn't understand what's happening, and we thought maybe these are just terrorists and that's it, they're here finally. Mm-hmm. And then it started to get closer and closer to our safe room, and we exchanged some words through the door, and we didn't really understand what's going on until we finally understood, and we were relieved to understand that these are soldiers that finally came to rescue us.
So what did you say to them? How did you know? Did you speak to them?
We were just shouting,
Arabic,
like, shouting.
Who are you? Who is it? What do you say?
The entire day, like, there was tons of messages in mm-hmm. the groups, in the group chats, that the soldiers that will rescue and will come to the houses, they were supposed to have some code, so we understand that these are soldiers and not terrorists. And they didn't have any code. We were just exchanging and shouting through the door. And to be honest, I was not sure that these really are soldiers. It was like, you know, I'm going to open the door and what
they
happens.
They will not show that you are Israeli.
Yeah. A good point. So I decided to finally open the door and I was so relieved and it was an amazing moment. Very, very exciting and emotional because I, at that moment I finally understood that I'm probably alive and I will be alive.
Wait, did you walk out of the kibbutz or were you rescued by a
vehicle? I literally walked outside the kibbutz. They were like making like a rectangle around us. We were like 50 or 60 people, I think, like grouped together and surrounded by soldiers. And we were literally walked out through the entire kibbutz. We saw very disturbing images for the first time. It was night, and throughout the entire day, we didn't really understand what happened. We just heard it, but we didn't see it. And when we finally got out of the shelters, we managed to see what really happened. And it was very shocking. But again, for me personally, I believed that I'm getting out of there. I really believed it, that this is it, and we are in the soldiers' hands, and they're finally here to rescue us. And that's it. That's how I got out of there.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
I think one of the biggest difference between the people that were inside Kfar Aza and outside is that you were stuck in the safe room and you couldn't know what was happening outside. And like while we were outside seeing the WhatsApp groups and like we weren't there, but we could see everything that was happening. So it was such a different experience. But yeah. I mean, at the end, when you got out, you saw everything, and that's...
Last night was the first time that I saw the broadcast from the 7th of October day in the news. The first time that I didn't even know what happened that day. So last night we saw it all of us together, and it was actually very, very weird to see it.
It's terrible. Ido, where were you on October 7th?
So I think I will introduce myself. I am Ido Felus, 24 years old, from Kibbutz Kfar Aza. Now I'm a student in Reichman University, also working on a project of the kibbutz and of the regional council that called Nitzane Ophir. And I was in the 7th of October, I was in the kibbutz at my parents' house. Lucky me that I moved from the young adult neighborhood 5 months, 6 months before, because I was flew to the big trip after the army. And that day I was with my family together at the safe room. At the beginning of the day, me and my father went outside to understand a little bit, to see what happened. But my mother told us if we're not going in, we have a problem with her. And then
nobody wants to mess with your mother.
Yeah,
so, he says go in the safe room, sure. You go in the safe room.
Yeah, and she at that moment scared me the most. So we got inside, and everyone knows the photo and everyone knows the story, but I was with the crossbow all day, so...
Let's zoom in on that for a second, because I'm not sure all of our listeners know this story, but Ido is actually very famous. There's a picture that someone from his family took because it was inside the safe room, we won't say who, and she, the only female almost in the family there, has been sharing that picture with the world of Ido, shirtless, holding a bow and arrow, right?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's hysterical. There's actually a very famous Israeli stand-up comedian, Chanoch Dam, who now opens his new acts by talking about Ido and the bow and arrow.
Seriously.
Yeah. If you think about terrorists on the other side, and you say to yourself, you know,
they were
If I don't have a gun, I'm going to hide. They might kill me. But no, you have Ido Felu standing with a bow and arrow from the other side. Ido, where the hell did you get a bow and arrow from?
Actually, I went all of the rooms to understand what to look for something that I can use to hurt someone or to defend my family.
Okay, so the follow-up question is, why do you have a bow and arrow in your home?
It's not mine. Now it's mine. Now it's mine.
How did it get there? I go with it every day.
My brother is a collector of knives and stuff like this. So now I'm an owner of Bow and Arrow, and I'm calling
Mazel
him.
Tov. Congratulations.
In a new name, I'm calling him Bow and Arrow. The beginning of the day we went out, and then we went on inside, and I went to all of the windows in the house and opened them a little bit and put stuff on the windows, because in the army, when you go to safe room in some places, you put things on the windows, so when someone get inside, you will know. So we did it, me and my father did it, and we turned off all the electricity in the house and went inside of the safe room, closed the door, and just started to wait. And around 2 o'clock, we heard them outside of the house, and then suddenly they disappeared. And we went all the day with the WhatsApp group, and we talked with people. And around 8:30 in the evening, my friend from the army told me he's inside of the kibbutz Kfar Aza, and they are fighting in the neighborhood that's front of us. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends got hurt. He got shot in the head. I don't know how, but he is alive now.
Wow.
A family in the kibbutz took care of him. And Liron gave him treatment. And then I told them, Moti, I think I heard terrorists outside of my window. Can you come here and take my sister and my mother, please? And he told me, okay, let me check. And he told me, at the beginning, we thought it's soldiers. And then he told me it's not soldiers, it's terrorists. Go inside the safe room. And told them, where do you think we are in the last 24 hours? And then after 30 minutes, he disappeared from the WhatsApp. And eventually we started to hear like gunfire and stuff like this. And we understand it's Moti and his crew. And I think they took care of those terrorists and killed them. And after 4 hours, I think it was 3 in the morning, someone knocked on the door, told us we're IDF and you can come outside, let's go. And that's it.
Is that what inspired you to join the first response team? Because we know that half of the people that were on the first response team of Kfar Aza on the day of October 7th, unfortunately, were killed.
Yeah.
But we also know that you and others have joined the new first response team of Kfar Aza. So you're basically spending at least half of your time there when you're not a college student, as you mentioned, at Reichman University. So what made you decide to join that team when it was reestablished?
Basically, that no one was there in the kibbutz. After the 7th of October... in a time of one month and a half after the 7th of October, no one was there from the kibbutz to maintain the order, where the soldier will sleep, how it's going to be, and was a lot of a mess. So we went to the management of the community and we told them, okay, we are 4 people, let us go to the kibbutz. And we talked with the army and we started this new first intervention team, because we want the order again, you know. We wanted to do something to contain all the situation over there.
I want to ask you guys a question, and Noam, this is a question for you too. The three of you are young adults from Kfar Aza, and 4 out of the 5 hostages are young adults from Kfar Aza. And I know that the entire community, if not to mention the entire Jewish people and friends of the Jewish people around the world, are thinking and praying and hoping for their quick and safe return. But for you, it's even more than that, because it's personal. Within the 5, who are the people that you are very close to? Who are your day-to-day friends that you know personally and not just as members of your community?
I think for me personally, it's actually very personal, because 2 of them are my cousins, and Gali and Ziv. And this whole situation is very, very tough and very emotional, because it affects my family, like my closest people, my closest family, and the people I care about, and the people that care about me are devastated by the fact that after so so much time and still we basically have no progress and we have no idea what's going on with them and if they are okay and if they are safe together or not. They spend their whole life together, so it is very tough because we don't know anything and we don't know if there's any contact with them or what's their status and what if they're safe or not, if they're alive or not. And yeah, it's very difficult for us.
Any do for you?
So for me, it's Gali, Ziv and Emily. The three of them are very good friends of me. Gali and Ziv specifically because we grew up together and they were like my closest friends all over the years. We walk together, we live together, we travel to the big trip together. We did everything together and we hope to do it again. In Emilia, we lived together 2 years in the young adults neighborhood and she was like the head of the neighborhood. She took care of us. She organized a lot of barbecues and a lot of karaoke evenings and she was always with a smile on the face. And if someone is like sitting outside of the home and just with the phone, she go outside, she yells at him, why are you sitting alone, come and sit with me. And that's the person, and I really miss that feeling, and I really miss her and really miss them.
And Noam, for you?
I'm closest in age to Gali and Ziv. I can't say that I'm very close to any of them, but just the fact that we all grew up together, and when I was a kid, I would always see them in the streets. I will tell a story, though. My older brother, it's just the two of us, so and my older brother, when he got his first apartment in the Dor Tzair, it's like this big, very big thing that you really expect ever since you're a kid. And you get it with a roommate. Like, you can get this apartment on your own, even though it's a tiny apartment. And his roommate was Ziv. So as a little sister, I would always want to go there and chill there. And it's like the, you know, like the cool people place. And
escape your parents with your older brother.
Exactly. And, yeah. Would always want to go there with my friends, away. Even though I wasn't old enough. And it was always like, so Mor, my brother, and Ziv, they were always there and having fun. And I remember I would always come to the apartment and they would sit there. And just growing up around them, around Gali and Ziv, they are the funniest people, I think. I mean, it's not hard to make me laugh, but I cannot breathe when I'm around them. They're so funny. Ziv especially. And that's it. That's how I know them.
And you also changed the picture on your social media to Keith.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see how people connect and how they are deepening their connection to members of the community who are currently in captivity. And we continue to pray, I guess, with everyone who's listening to us.
I think it's the story of to be an Israeli people, you know, when something happens, when something is going on, when someone needs help, all the Israeli people, all the Jewish people, I think it's what it's mean to be a human being, to help when someone is in need your help. But we saw it in the beginning, we see it now, how people connect the hostages, families, how people connect the Kfar Aza community. And I think it's a lesson to all of the human beings in the world that when something happened, this is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to to do things.
You've taken this dedication and commitment to, I think, higher levels as well, because the two of you are part of a group that has founded an initiative called Hanitzanim Shel Ofir, right? Named after Ofir Liebstein, a member of the community, was also the mayor of the region, and his son, Nitzan, who unfortunately was also killed that day. There were five members of that family that were killed, and Ofir and Nitzan, a father and son, were killed, and you decided in their memory to create an initiative that is supposed to encourage or engage people like yourselves, young adults between the ages of 18 to 35, to deepen their connection to Kfar Aza. Tell us about that.
So I always start the story about the international fear and what caused us to do it. And I think it's came from fear. And it came from a problem. And I think every good initiative came from a problem. And we came to solve this problem with something a little bit new, a little bit not new, but something that would be specific for the young adults in all of the Gaza envelope. So what we did, we give those people a scholarship that they can spend it in four different ways. It's not only for students, also for people that needs help in their daily life. Like we give them money to spend it on
shopping vouchers,
or a trip to do a little silence for themselves. And what causes is the fear of not having the young adults in the future in the Gaza envelope. We want to connect them, reconnect them to the area of Gaza envelope and to the communities from the start, because after the 7th of October, Liri here will say it himself, but they went to a different location. I stayed in Shfaim, but a lot of the young adults went to a different location. Mm-hmm. And more of that, they went to outside of Israel, a little bit of them. So we want to find a way to reconnect them to the community and find a way to help them in the same project.
So let's zoom in on that for a second. Noam, where do you live today?
So I live in Herzliya today after spending some months in Netanya.
And Ido, where do you live?
Now I'm Tel Aviv and Farazas. It's like Tel Aviv.
Okay, and Liri, where
and
do you
Tel
live?
Aviv.
Tel Aviv.
Yes.
So the three of you, young adults of Kfar Aza, living in different places, now have an initiative that is connecting you or reconnecting you to Kfar Aza. What does it include? What do you do? What is the Nitzanim Shel Ofir all about?
The project, I think the way I see it, it enables us to create a win-win situation for the people, the young people of Kfar Aza that are scattered across all the country and the world. And a win-win situation with the community and the kibbutz. So we can help the people, the young people of Kfar Aza that really... They're emotionally connected to Kfar Aza and they want to support and they want to help rebuild this community and our home, basically.
And so what do you do? I understand why you do it.
Yeah, so basically...
What do you actually do? When you're a member, mm-hmm. right? Or if you're active, if you are a beneficiary of an Nitzanim Shel Ofir, what are your options for connecting to the kibbutz?
Yeah, so when you start and it's an Nitzanim Shel Ofir, you get a volunteering program. Okay, you have several...
Like a menu.
Yeah, you have a menu of volunteering program. After me and Liri and the Roy and all the crew, we went to the community management and we talked with them and I asked them, what are your needs? Tell us, what are your needs that you want the youngsters, the young adult people of your community will help you? Where do you need them? And they told us. And we got a menu of like 5 or 6 volunteering programs through the year. And then...
Tell us what they are. What are the 6 options for volunteer work that young adults of Kfar Aza can do for Kfar Aza?
Yeah, so we have the hostages, families. They can help them in their personal life. And also there is like five people that are helping in the fighting of bringing them back home. You know, they go and put
like
signs.
Like organizing demonstrations. Yeah. And raising awareness with yellow ribbons and all that.
All the yellow things you see all over the countries.
Someone's hanging it up, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
All of the faces, all the signs. This is the young adults from the Nitzanim Ofir.
Amazing.
Nitzanim Shel Ofir Shosim. They will do this. And people, how do you say it in English?
Bereaved families.
Bidiuk. So yes. Those, I always tell Liri to say it because, you know, for me it's a little bit too.
The bereaved families.
So people that volunteer in those families, they help us, they help them like... to move from Shfaim to Ruchama, help them
whatever they need,
the daily life needs, like to make food, and they do like babysitting for the children, and we also have.
So it's mostly widows that have lost their husbands, and they have children, and they need someone to help with either babysitting or organize something, and. So you have a like a task force of young adults that are working together with those families and helping them out.
Yeah, and also we have with the adults of the of those communities. We have a group
the elderly.
Yeah, the elder people of the community are now in Hotel C in Tel Aviv, and they are going to move to Ruhama.
By the way, I saw the footage from the L'chaim, the toast you had on Rosh Hashanah Eve, right? With the young adults of Kfar Aza and the seniors of Kfar Aza together, wishing each other only good things for the new year. And there was something about that gathering that was incredible.
Yes. Yep,
definitely.
It was mind-blowing. And that happened thanks to your initiative. It happened thanks to the fact that you initiated this program because people are deepening their connection to Kfar Aza through a project with the seniors of Kfar Aza. Yep. That's an amazing opportunity.
The elder people came to me and told me, you don't understand what this initiative, what are you are now doing for me. You connect me, you bring me life again. You bring me, you make me younger. Someone told me, you make me younger. And I'm like, oh no, but you're young, you look beautiful. but you make me younger, you make me feel alive again.
Wow.
So for me to hear that, it's like, I think this is the purpose of what I'm doing. This is the purpose that what we do. We want to hear those things. We don't need money. We don't need we need money for another initiative. but this is what bring I think
fulfilling.
Yeah, fulfilling us, and this is what makes us I think continue moving.
Definitely.
I think what's so amazing about it is that I mean the natural reaction to what happened in Kfar Aza is to say, okay, I'm at the age of already, you know, thinking about moving to Tel Aviv, like getting out of Kfar Aza. And I think even my first reaction was, I don't want to see this place ever again. Like, I don't want to go there. It's too scary. It's too traumatizing. And like, you know, to hearing all the stories. But what you're doing is you're actually, we have a lot of power, you know, like people our age were energized, we have power, we understand how things work right now, and taking all this power and actually helping the kibbutz is so, it shouldn't be taken for granted. It's really amazing.
It's basically a micro grant system, right? Because on the one hand, you have the community coming to the young adults and saying, here's what we need. We need help with the seniors. We need help with the families of the hostages. We need help with gardening. We need help with babysitting children of you know, people that were killed on October 7th and the widows are on their own. So they have the opportunity to come and say, here's what we need and please help us. And what do you actually get in return? Because you volunteer, but there's also an understanding that the young adults of the community need things for themselves.
Yeah.
So how does the community help you in return?
So the young adults get a scholarship. They get a scholarship until 15,000.
Scholarship for what?
They can take it in four different courses. The first one is to study. They can go and study in the university, go study something that develops them. This is the way that we see it. We want to develop the young adults of this area. We want to make them a little bit better.
You're empowering them.
Yeah, for them, not for us. I want them to get up from the bed and I want them to do something. So they
feel like that's an issue, or there are a lot of young adults in Kfar Aza having a hard time functioning.
Yeah, that's an issue, and not only in Kfar Aza. I think that's an issue that started before the 7th of October, and I think it's went up after the 7th of October. But now we want them to get up and start doing also for the friends in captivity, and also for themselves, and also for the area.
So you're saying to the average young adult in Kfar Aza, listen, here are the needs. Come and volunteer, and once you complete the hours that you are committed to, you're going to be eligible to receive a school scholarship.
Yeah.
What else are they able to receive?
They get you want to ask?
Yes, they can also receive, like, there's two main like ideas. They can invest in themselves in personal development, like in courses and scholarship for studies, academic degree or stuff like that. And we can also help them with their day-to-day needs, like with the shopping vouchers for gas, for shopping, for clothes, for anything they need. And also we can help them like travel or maybe clean their head and like restart.
A lot of those people stayed all of this herbal year in maybe in Kfar Aza, maybe Isfahan, but they stayed. They didn't move. And we know as a human being that we need some time, a little break. Everyone needs this. When in the Shabbat or when is in the holiday, and a lot of those people can afford it because of they didn't work all of this horrible years. So we give them the opportunity. We give them the option to go and maybe spend a little bit quiet time with the families and to reconnect the families together also. It's something we don't talk about it.
But what I like about this is that it seems like the leadership of Kfar Aza has basically gone into your shoes. They said to themselves, what do they need, mm-hmm. right? They've asked themselves, what do the young adults of the community need? They need school money, they need to travel, they need some, you know, seed money for themselves, for groceries or whatever. And at the same time, they're telling you what they need.
Yeah.
So it's a very practical relationship that seems like, as Liri said, you know, a win-win situation yeah. for all. And that's wonderful because it allows you to be active and be involved regardless of where you live geographically, right? Because you might be in Herzliya or in Tel Aviv or anywhere else, but you're still connected to the community.
Yeah. And yeah. also we have the fourth and last one course that this we call this a starting a business. We call this a initiative course.
Business initiative. That's what we call it in English, the Yiddish cup. You know what that is?
No.
Cup kepi, osh, the head. A Yiddish kilo Yehudi, the Jewish mind,
yeah.
the Jewish head, the Yiddish cup.
Yeah.
Here's Marty, start a business.
Yeah, so I don't know if people that heard us ever been in Kfar Aza or ever been in the evil of Gaza. I hope so because it's heaven and you have to come. But we understand that a lot of the young adults in the community have a dream. They want to start a business. They want to start an initiative in Kfar Aza or the evil of Gaza. And we want to help them. So people can volunteer. And then they can go and study in Reichman University, a 5 to 6 lessons course that will help them to understand how to start a business, how to manage your money, and all of the base thing you need to learn to start your business. It's not only business. It could be an initiative for the communities. We get also, this is a lot better, actually. And then they get a mentor from Reichman University that will guide them through all the process of how to make your own business, how to make your own initiative in the envelope of Gaza. So those people that suffer and they survive the 7th of October, that volunteer for a whole year in their communities, they help the communities, they are now starting a business for them and for the communities after they learn how to do it from the Hanitzanim Shel Ofir in the envelope of Gaza.
So another, I think, important piece of this is that you've created a program that is for the young adults of Kfar Aza, but we can expand this program.
Yeah.
This could be an amazing model for additional communities that Definitely. Are wanting or willing to engage their young adults, right? So it's a Kfar Aza project that could be implemented anywhere, in the north, in the south, right? Is that part of the vision, bringing an international feel to additional communities?
Definitely, and we are now working on it. We are starting to connect with another kibbutzim in the area that suffered the 7th of October, and we want to expand this project. We want everyone, we want all the young adults will experience what we experienced in this project, what we feel. And what I told before about how I feel in the project, I want all of the young adults in the community, all the young adults in the envelope of Gaza, also in the north, I wish will experience also.
Amazing. So, yeah. I'm going to seize the opportunity to thank the New York Federation and the ISRAID organization, as well as some other donors that have helped us with the first 100 participants. There are 180 potential participants in Kfar Aza. So for those listening to us who might want to help us with this initiative, you can look up the Kfar Aza Foundation on social media or Google Kfar Aza is not alone and designate any kind of grant or gift to Hanitzanim Shel Ofir project, the micro grant project for young adults. This is living proof that it's happening. It's amazing. And hopefully the vision will be implemented everywhere. So thank you for what you're doing.
So before moving on, I just want to say that one thing that stood out to me that Ido said is that it's not just about personal growth. It's about developing the whole region, the whole Shara Negev Regional Council and beyond. So what's amazing to me is that on the first episode that we recorded, Rotem said that his dreams for the future is to see this whole region really develop and like have really, you know, big, I don't know, universities and opportunities. And this is actually the first step in doing it. And it's amazing.
Ophir Lipstein always told us that he sees things two times. One thing when you dream it, and the second thing when you do it.
Ophir was an inspiration, I think, to all of us.
Visionary.
To all of us. So if we're already talking about the future, I have a question to both of you. What is your dream for the future regarding Kfar Aza? Where do you see Kfar Aza in 10 years?
My dream for Kfar Aza is that it will be rebuilt and filled with the same people and more people, to make Kfar Aza alive again, alive and blooming and beautiful and green and funny. And it can be very weird way of life for people that have no idea what it is like to live in a kibbutz. And Kfar Aza specifically is a very, very lively community, I think. Very alive, very impactful. Like, people are always happy and a lot of...
funny people.
Yeah, funny people and weird people.
Funny and weird people.
Yeah.
But they're good people.
Definitely. And that is my dream, to watch it live again, alive and blooming.
And where do you see yourself in that vision that you have? Like, to what extent are you going to stay a part of this process?
My dream, and it was not my plan before the 7th of October, like I said, but like I said, something like I felt very connected the same day when we left at the 7th of October, the kibbutz and the state that it was, it impacted me. It had a very big effect on me. And my dream is to rebuild my house there. I hope so. Wow. One day.
Amazing.
With sufficient security.
Other people are not sure what's going to be with their future and their connection to Kfar Aza or other communities because of October 7th. You're saying for you, it was the contrary, right? That changed the tables and now want to live there. That's where you want to go back to. That's incredible.
Very connected, yes, to the ground.
Maybe because you do a lot for the community of Kfar Aza. Maybe that's what changed.
Yeah, I feel like.
Makes sense.
For me, in 10 years or the first, what was the first?
What is your dream about the future?
About the future?
And where do you see Kfar Aza in 10 years?
First of all, I have one dream all of this year and see my friends home. And I think it's the only dream that I have. And I dream every night about them. And this is truly my one and only dream. But if I look on the future of Kfar Aza and the future of the envelope of Gaza, I see the area beautiful. I see it green. I see it with a lot of new projects and new initiatives and new... I see it. I think this is the world that I want to use. And I see it developing. And I see us as a community, as an area, getting up and doing something great again and doing something big. And... I think people of Israel won't look us the same they look us before the 7th of October. I think we will be something, my vision, it will be like Tel Aviv. It will be like Haifa. It will be like Be'er Sheva. It will be like every single city that people want to move there. And because they have the best things, they have the best community.
Education.
This is the most fun to be. I don't want people from Kfar Aza like Liri will go and study in Tel Aviv because they have the best university, best, I don't know, clubs. Liri like to party all the,
yeah, yeah, all the time.
All the time. Liri is a clubber, you know, so.
Definitely.
No, so I want people to move to Kfar Aza and move to the envelope of Gaza because they say this is the best. And yes. this is my vision. About the future.
It's a great vision. Amazing. Yeah, I think it is important to know that we're talking about the future, but none of it even seems possible without having Kit, Doron, Gali, Ziv, and Emily home. It's so obvious to us, but we need to make it obvious also to our listeners.
We continue to pray for their safe return, as well as all 101 people that are still in captivity in Gaza. We need something to happen now. And thank you for everyone who is listening that is doing everything that they can in order to raise awareness and support the families and continue the good fight. We need them to come home. So we need all the help that we can get.
So let's do one last question. This week we marked 1 year of this war, 1 year of the hostages being in Hamas captivity in Gaza. So I wanted to ask you if you can choose one word to describe this whole year.
Wow.
And then you can explain question. It, but choose one
I
word.
I thought you were going to stop it after tough. I thought you were going to say tough.
No,
mess,
tough question.
Tough.
No, actually, I have a word from the beginning of the war and the beginning of what happened. This word is came with me all the way. And the word is alone. And it's not because I am feel alone. Maybe sometimes, but I think about the people in captivity, and I think about the soldiers that are now fighting in two different areas of the country, and I think, and I think about the thought that I don't want to leave them alone. I don't want them to feel alone, because I think it's a horrible feeling, and I think this is what the hostages is now feeling. Mm-hmm. And every time that I'm doing something for them or for the soldiers or for someone that feels alone, I feel not alone. You understand? And so for me, alone is the word that continues to go with me every project and everything that I do along this year. And this is the word that I choose.
Amazing.
You know, people say that when something happens, the way to respond is to either be part of the being or part of the doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very inspiring that everyone around this table is part of the doing. And you're doing so much that is helping the community heal, but is also helping all of us think about the future and plan the future, regardless of what's happening. I mean, we have friends and community and family members that are in captivity, and we have a community that has at least 2 more years before they can return home. We have soldiers fighting on all of our borderlines. We have missiles coming in from Yemen and from Iraq. We didn't see that coming. Iran, we knew would happen eventually, right? Lebanon, we've been there before. Gaza, we've been there before. Suddenly, you know, missiles from Yemen. Like, what the hell?
They throw
jachnus. Exactly. I mean, we don't even know how to respond to that. But I think within this entire chaos, the fact that you're finding the time to invest in your community and make sure that other young adults are connected to the community, I mean, it's very inspiring, to say the least. So I want to thank both of you for being with us today, Ido and Liri. It's been special, to say the least. I want to thank our listeners for being with us.
And we want to thank you. I don't know if the listeners know, but Alon, after the 7th of October, leave all of his life and came to work in the foundation of Kfar Aza just because he heard the story and he wants to help. And this is what we talked about it.
It's my privilege. Thank you. Thank you. And it really is a privilege and an honor. Thank you to our listeners that were with us today. We appreciate you tuning in and staying with us. And for anyone who would like to assist the community of Kfar Aza, look us up online. Campaigns are called Kfar Aza is Not Alone. We're doing good work in education, welfare, community, commemoration, and now construction as well. So, tudarabah.
Tudarabah.